Adam McDougall is the Health Hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world, and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits with our podcast.
Subscribe to the podcast to listen to whenever you want.
Triple M.
Oh, g'day, Roo. Good morning. I see where Usain Bolt got none. Yes. All right, I'm talking to myself here.
he's come second, so yeah. Maybe it is time to retire.
Yeah. No, I'm just being silly. I'm just trying to avoid the obvious. God, yesterday, what a day down at the Adelaide Oval, eh?
Yeah, it was a very interesting day. I can't believe they got 45,000 people to end up going to the game, Dits, because... It was horrific conditions,
well,
really,
conditions
wasn't it?
Well, conditions were terrible. They really were. So well done to everyone that turned up.
They did brave the elements. Mm. They saw one side rock up and the other side decided not to.
Yes.
That's why we got such a big margin.
Mm.
How the hell did Port Adelaide do what they did, Dits?
Don't know. Well, we're going to talk about this obviously in depth later on this morning. You've got, when you look at a sporting contest like that, I just have to say, Crows far too good. We're going to, you know, Port people can say, oh, we were terrible, we were this, we were that. Do you know what? We were well beaten.
Yeah.
So I seriously take my hat off to the Crows, and you're top of the ladder and deservedly so.
The only part of Port Adelaide that had a crack were the banner makers, weren't they?
Yeah, the cheer squad had a go.
They had a go.
Yeah, they had a bit of guts about
them. I'd be furious that they had a crack and their players didn't. So,
no. So I'll get you to tell us all about it later on, Ruth.
I think you could probably do a pretty good job.
Oh, no. Look, I like the way Ken Hinckley spoke after the game.
He's always honest, Ken, isn't he?
Yeah. But there were no excuses, and he said totally unacceptable, and he was good. And he sort of hinted that, you know what, if these blokes can't get it done, I'll find some others in the reserves. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Is that what he said?
Kind of. I'm paraphrasing him a little bit.
Right.
But he said, yeah, if these blokes can't get it done, we'll make some changes.
Well, they haven't been that bad all year. That was their worst performance for the year, Port Adelaide, that I've seen anyway. So we've got Sauce Jacobs coming on later on,
Sauce. Yeah, I look forward to that.
We'll rub a bit of salt in there. Dits, the three-time showdown medalist, big Sammy Jacobs up against Paddy Ryder. Mm. He loves it. We said the other day, Dits, he's got an ego, Sauce, hasn't he? And in a healthy way. He hates opposition ruckman. Remember Matty Lobe? Those two started having a little bit of a blow together, and now
he won three showdown medals.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Yeah, you have to be good to do that. But Sauce Jacobs, yeah, we'll have a chat to him later on as well. We're gonna catch up with Forbesy soon too. He slotted it through for $20,000 yesterday.
He did. Yeah,
I don't blame him from kicking from 20 meters out either, because it was very, very windy when he went out to do that kick. He could have went from 40.
Nah, it was sensible.
Chose 20.
20,
and never in doubt.
Yeah. Hey, the other thing, Roo, weather. Now, as you mentioned, well done to anyone that turned up yesterday at the Oval, but it's been terrible and a lot of damage around the place. But we're talking about flash flooding today as well. So we're going to find out if that's true and whereabouts. I mean, where do we need to batten down the hatches?
Yep. No, it's a big wet day across the state yesterday. I think it was statewide. So we'll try and find out all the information from that.
We had to sandbag up at home. First time
we did.
Yeah. Yeah, unbelievable.
How many bags did you fill?
I left it to the Kate. Lovely Kate. Well, I was at the footy.
Oh,
I got it.
No.
Hang on, I didn't
you
know.
You are a shocker.
I didn't know. I was
you
at the
could
footy
have been a couple of minutes late. We would have let you off for doing a few sandbags.
I didn't know. I was at the footy, and I got a text message next minute saying I'm having the sandbag. So,
what a shocker! What a shocker! That's a man's job.
I can't
Dits.
Be in two places at once. Can I?
You needed to be like Robbie Gray. You needed two Dittmars yesterday.
I wish I was sandbagging in the end. Anyway,
you needed
show...
that in front of your goals for a while.
That's
didn't you?
Right. Yeah. Stop
Kate,
the avalanche.
Bring some bags there to fall back.
That's right. Ruined Dits. It's going to be a fun morning, I can tell. Ruined Dits on Triple M.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Ditch for breakfast on this Monday morning. 16 today, partly cloudy after a wild weekend. All thanks to Southern Volkswagen this morning. Roo, what's making news?
Oh, well, it was. We were talking about the weather yesterday. Wild weather all over the state. There's talk of flash flooding in several areas in the hills and around the place. Certainly up your way, Ditch, Harndorf, Verdun, the Onkaparinka River. They're talking about a bit of flooding there. I was getting text messages and phone calls from people in Port Lincoln before the game started yesterday to say it's raining sideways and 100-kilometre-hour winds. So if you're going to win the toss, it's going to be coming from the south later on in the game. So kick so that you get the advantage in the last quarter. But end up blowing over the top of Adelaide yesterday, and I think went all up in Clare and all that region.
Okay,
I think they might have copped a lot of rain in the afternoon as well. So winter's finally got here.
We had hail at one stage up at home, so yeah, very heavy and nasty yesterday.
Yep.
Hey, what about whenever we say power prices, everyone yawns and goes, oh, we're still talking about this. But it is vital to what's going to happen here with our economy and, in fact, just people in general in the next 5 to 10 years. What's the latest, Roo?
Well, people haven't got their first bill yet from the rise going up. So July, August, September, they'll probably start getting them in early October, I think, will be the first bill that households will get. That'll be the first shock. So you might pay that one all right, and then the next quarter might be a bit tighter. I reckon in 12, 18 months after you've had sort of 4 to 6 bills, people will start actually listening, Ditz, and get really cranky.
Yep.
But I've told you before that pub bills for powers, as an example for business, our pub bills are going up 50% for power at pubs. So that's
in real terms. Well, does my schooner go up 50%?
Well, they're going to have to pass the costs on or go broke. Mm. That's what will happen with some pubs.
Yep.
Absolutely. We know about that recycling man whose power bill went from $80,000 to $180,000 a month. So that was $1.2 million a year. On the weekend, the biggest power consumer of everyone in South Australia, BHP at Roxby Downs, the boss there, who Jackie McGill, I think her name was, she came out and said on the weekend that the state's power prices need to drop by 25% for South Australia to be attractive for businesses to come. Otherwise, they're not coming here.
Well,
and if they don't come here, Ditz, we won't have any jobs for next generations or even people that are here now.
Well,
so it's a serious issue. That's why we keep talking about it.
25%, that's not going to happen. I know she's right in what she says.
But it won't happen by just doing little fixes like what we're doing. I don't even know if we can have it. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Liberals are going to do. And because it looks like what Labor are doing at the moment is sort of just trying to hold ground, I think is the best way of putting it.
Yeah. And just from the world of entertainment, making news, Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Who I'm a big fan of.
So is my daughter.
Yeah.
10-year-old.
Not her music. I just I think she's a gorgeous-looking girl. And
she's a good role model for kids.
Good role model.
That's what she is.
Right. She's suing a DJ out of Denver.
How many million?
$1. And clearly, so it's not about the money. She's just trying to make a point. This fella, 4 years ago, he started it. He sued her for $3 million.
You started it.
Yeah. So she's counter-suing just to get rid of this.
What's she suing her for what?
There was a photo shoot 4 years ago in Denver, and he groped her. And somehow he's turned it around that she groped him or something, but he sued her for $3 million. She's counter-sued and said, I only want $1 just to shut this bloke up. So interesting case. And it was all about groping.
Groping, yeah. Mm. Well, that's you can't go around groping people, Ditz.
No.
Not even Taylor Swift.
No.
That's top three from overnight.
Ruined Ditz for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Well, on a Monday morning, we like to throw the phones open. 133353. Let's get to our first caller this morning. Hello.
Good day, Ruined Ditz. It's Murray on the Murray.
Oh, hey, Murray. You been getting wet up there?
Yeah, it's wet.
Yeah,
that's all I can say.
Righto. What can we do for you, Murray?
And I was talking to Pluto.
Who's Pluto?
He's totally out of this world, mate. One of the blokes up here.
Right.
He reckons that he was driving along and through the floodwaters, and he saw this thing about the size of a fox, and he just couldn't believe it. There's seen stripes. I reckon it's a Tasmanian tiger.
Oh,
really?
You're not the first one to ring up with this. This is amazing.
Anyway, and look, I was talking about the book by the judge, the new entry for those footy puns he's thinking of writing a book. We've got a new one that we've been working on. What do you call a Western Bulldogs player that keeps putting the ball out of bounds.
What?
The Liberatore.
Good on you, Murray. We like that.
Not enough for an argument.
No, not at all. I'll use that in the call next week. Deliberatory. Righto. Thanks, Muzz. Let's go to our next caller, Roo. Hello. Good morning.
G'day. This is John Farnham.
Hello, Farnsey.
Hey, boys, I just want to say Jerry Seinfeld was in Adelaide last night, apparently,
yeah.
mate.
Yeah.
Or the night before. Hey, now, Glenn was saying, is he doing much tours around Australia?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he
wants to know, has he got a support act?
Well, not sure.
I think it's just him. Why?
Yeah, no, well, he's just thinking, you know, Johnny and Jerry on tour or something
like
that.
Yeah, right.
It's got a ring to it.
Yeah, farewell tour, Farnsey.
Exactly, mate. And he just wants to know how you're going with, you know, the no-repeat workday. Any chance still of the here, Farnsey, once workday?
Well, look, we're trying to work you in, but haven't been able to do it yet. But keep listening. We'll try.
Okay, mate. See you, boys.
See you.
See Johnny.
Farnsey, love it when he rings.
Oh, yeah. He's an avid listener. Let's take another call. Good morning.
Hey, boys. How you go?
Who's that?
Who's that?
It's Tex.
Oh,
Texan.
You're up early, Tex. Well done yesterday, Tex.
Yeah, just heard a review of the game and didn't get a mention. Oh, well.
What do you mean?
What?
You didn't say Tex.
Well, I tell you what, you could have won the medal. I thought you were brilliant, Tex. Yeah. When the game was there to be won, I thought you were awesome.
Well, a bit late now.
Sorry.
Hey, we're doing showdown at 8:10 and, you know, a little bit again in a minute.
No, it was a good win. There weren't any distractions. Didn't see one seagull.
No.
Last week you
got a bit distracted at the MCG last week.
Yeah, I rang Bernie. He reckons they're distracting at the G.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, this bloke, he said, my girlfriend said she was leaving me due to my obsession with the 1960s group The Monkees.
Yeah.
Mm.
He said, I thought she was joking, but then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Okay. Thanks, Tex. We'll see you when you pop in tomorrow. Righto, let's get to we've got time for one more, I think. Hello, good morning.
Hello, boys. It's Tommy Tai Chi.
Tommy! How are you, mate?
Hello, Ruboy. Hello, Dit.
Right. How are you?
Yeah, I've been good. I won't keep you long, but down at the New Jet Imperial Gordon Moon Rickshaw Peking Mandarin Inn, we have big special this week, you know, because we have showdown. We want both pot people to come and crow people. But, you know, because crow win, we will have that special. What we hear, if any of the waiter hear anyone say, you please pass me the Sam Jacobs, they get free fried rice. You please, so come into Tommy's place, you say, please pass me the Sam Jacobs.
Right, we get it.
We get that. You get
right.
that. Okay.
Thanks,
see
Tommy.
See you, boys. You'll see you down there.
See ya. Right.
See you, Tommy.
That's all we got time for.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:41, Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Thanks to Southern Volkswagen down at Ranella. Roo, just another day in the life of Dits and the Lucky Kate.
What have you been up to now?
By the way, I need to give you an update on Batchy last week. Remember, you know, when I recorded Kate and her sister?
Yeah.
It didn't go down too well.
No. Cost you $500 in shoes.
Cost me $500. The visa bill has come in, yes.
Bit of retail therapy there
retail
by Kate.
Retail therapy. And how on earth that changes everything, I don't know, but apparently it does.
Absolutely.
Mm. So now she feels better.
Mm.
Anyway, something I've been doing lately, Roo, and I do genuinely feel horrible about this, but do you do strange things in your sleep, or do you just go to bed and you're just a log?
I do a few little things.
Like what?
Oh, I like tapping on the shoulder every now and then, things like that.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm a dreamer. I'm definitely a dreamer. Yeah. I have a lot of dreams.
Do you?
Yep. Always have been. Mm. Talk in my sleep. Mm-hmm. Just those sort of stock standard things that probably most people do.
Anything, do you give away things when you're talking or?
Give away?
Like things that you're not meant to say or what?
Well, no, I've never got in trouble for anything. Oh, okay. But it's usually I'm either getting murdered or I'm in some sort of, you know, bad dream.
Not
I wake up
cheery.
And go, shivers, what the hell has happened there? But nothing that gets anywhere near what you've been up to.
Well, what I've done lately, and I feel awful about this, but I don't know I'm doing it, but I wake up as I'm doing it. So it's happened twice in the last couple of weeks. But going back about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I kicked Kate in bed real, real hard.
What do you mean kicked it? Like a little jolt?
No, full on.
Well, like you were kicking a torp from 60.
So, and anyway, she wake and I woke up as I did, and she goes, "What are you doing?" Because I really hurt her. And this is, I said,
were you dreaming?
So I was playing footy. Yeah, she said, what are you doing? I said, bloody hell, Kate, I'm sorry. I said, I was playing footy. And the thing was,
oh, no.
And I said, I was so far out, I had to really, really kick it hard. This was to win. Of course, I'm on Adelaide Oval and I'm, you know, I dream about
footy. Still thinking
like
about that. You should have taken the footy pass instead of squash.
I've kicked her so hard and then felt awful. I just felt shocking because obviously I don't mean, I'm not being violent. I didn't mean to do it. And then
you can't kick women.
And then
dude.
This week, I know that. And then this week, I've done it again. I've kicked her in bed and got her right in the leg really badly. Wakes up again. What are you doing? And anyway, and this is after dark.
No wonder she puts you in the bloody spare bedroom all the time.
I was on the golf course and a crocodile was coming towards me. So I was waving the golf club at it. I'm serious.
Flashbacks from Darwin.
Yes, but you see, I was courageous. Instead of run away, I've kicked it. I've tried to take
on
the crocodile.
You tried to kick the crocodile.
Took it on.
I did kick Kate.
But I kicked Kate. So anyway, so Kate's black and blue in her legs now. I've kicked her in the leg.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and this has come from nowhere because I've never done this before in my life. I don't know what's going on. Don't know how on earth this is happening.
Oh, breakfast radio. Breakfast radio.
It does strange things. It really does.
Oh, yeah. God. So
Mel, the button pusher, you were telling me what happens in your bed at night, if you know what I mean. Strange
apart from
thing.
That, yeah. Danny sits bolt upright in the middle of the night so violently that wakes us both up, so that's bad enough.
But like then, in shock. Like
yeah,
he goes,
in
ah!
shock. You know when you bolt up, say if you heard someone out the front of the house. He sits bolt upright. But he also speaks really coherently, so I think there is someone.
Oh, you think
out
he
the
is
front.
Awake?
What sorts
and with
of things
it.
Does he say?
He'll say, "I'll get it for you soon. I'll be there tomorrow." Right. Oh, la, la, la. Oh. Or I'll yeah. And it's at
so
the time.
So he's still asleep.
Or I'm coming to get you. I'll come and see you soon.
Mm. Yeah, righto.
Yeah. So
and
it
then
freaks
what,
you
just
out.
Go and back to sleep.
And then he just goes like a vampire in a coffin. You know how they just sit bolt upright.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then bang. Back
but
down.
Then you're left awake with your heart going at 100 miles an hour.
Hey, I'm racing and awake. For the next 2 hours.
And Roo, your kids sleepwalk, don't they?
Oh, they do. Well, one of them
see,
does.
See, that's dangerous.
Yeah, it does. Come down the stairs, can talk to you, can look at you, and have a conversation, but be totally not there.
Wow.
Which is very weird. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit
so
different.
I find sleepwalking real strange. That scares me.
Mm.
And I think, you know, and some bad. See, you've got steep stairs in your house too. Your kids could go tumbling down the stairs. That's
yes,
terrible.
Yes, they could. Thank All God right. they haven't at this stage.
What happens in your bed? 133353. If you, as I said, keep it clean. We're talking about the strange things that people do in their bed.
Yep. And we've got some tickets to go and see Port Adelaide take on Collingwood. So, Port fans, you might not be ready to go and watch your team again, but if you're a Collingwood supporter out there and you want some tickets, Port Adelaide supporters, if you want to give them a second chance, you're better because they need the win to stay in the race for the finals. Tickets this Sunday for Adelaide Oval. And if you want to buy tickets, you can go to portadelaidefc.com.au/tickets.
Strange things that happen in your bed. Let us know. 133353.
Triple M.
Taking calls on weird things you do in bed after Ditz tried to kick Kate for a goal from 50 metres.
She's wearing cricket pads to bed now. Her legs are bruised.
Oh, that'll be good for your sex life, Ditz. Let's go to Modbury Heights. G'day, Yvonne.
G'day. This happened in another life because we're old now, but it used to happen quite a lot. My husband used to be some fancy thing in the wireless shipyard. He was a electrical person.
Right.
He used to get a lot of call-outs, and he got, over a period of time, he got very stressed.
Yep.
And one particular night, we're lying in bed, and he shook me awake. Yvonne, wake up. So I'm awake and quivering, and he said to me, "There's a huge spider at the end of the bed. I want you to pull your legs up very, very slowly." So, of course, I was terrified, and I'm pulling my legs up very, very slowly until they're under my chin, and I'm lying there shaking, and next thing I hear is... And he's gone back to sleep.
Crikey. What an opportunity.
And the spider just disappeared.
Hey, gee, all right. Thanks, Yvonne.
Yeah, let's head to Taparoo. Is it Bione?
Yes, it is.
How are you going? What's your story about what you've got up to in bed?
My brother-in-law, actually, he and his wife were asleep, and he used to do boxing, and he put his fist through the headboard.
Oh no.
Oh, no. Bloody hell.
Lucky it was through the headboard.
So he thought he was in a bout, did he?
Yeah. Bloody yeah.
Hell.
And yeah, put his fist through it.
Ooh,
that could have been dangerous.
Very lucky. Let's go to Greenwith. G'day, Graham.
Yeah, good morning.
What's
guys.
Happened to you?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a serial offender, I'm afraid, and I think it's probably in the genes because my eldest daughter has her episodes as well. But one specific one, we have a waterbed, and I got up out of the shot up out of the waterbed, and I'm hanging on to the end of the waterbed because I've imagined that it's on the edge of a cliff. And as you know, if you let the water flow down to the cliffside, it'll just overturn. And so I'm hanging onto the end of the bed as hard as I can to save my wife from going over the cliff.
Wow. Well, you'd want a bravery award for that, I reckon.
Hey, Graham.
Exactly.
Why have you got a waterbed? Are they that good? Oh, it's a bit different, aren't they?
Oh, yes. Oh, in the middle of winter, a waterbed is awesome, mate, because it's warm when you get in.
Is it?
Oh yeah, and in the middle of summer, you turn the temperature down, and you've actually got a bit of cool as well, so you don't overheat.
Oh, hang on,
I get bloody seasick.
Seasick.
The old ones used to really, really be wavy, but then they've got waveless now. I think, haven't they?
Waveless.
I think so.
All right, let's go to Ferreton Park. G'day, Claire.
Hi.
What's happened to you in bed?
During my pregnancies, I would get up during the night and go and wee in the shower.
What? Without knowing? Sleepwalking?
Without knowing. I wake up in the morning and I would blame my husband. This is disgusting. Who does this kind of thing? And it was me.
Well done, Claire.
What? And what only ever happened when you were pregnant?
Only when I was pregnant.
Wow. Oh, well. That's the way it goes.
That's different. Yeah, right.
Let's go to Para Hills. G'day, Nev.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, Nev.
My son went sleepwalking one night. I was actually building something out down the shed for several weeks, and he was always down there fascinated watching Dad do all his work. And anyway, one night, the wife woke me up. She said, hey, someone just opened the front door.
What?
Flew out of bed, and the front door shut, and I sort of walked out there thinking someone's broken in the joint. And I heard the side gate close, so I walked around, opened the side gate, and I saw this little figure walking down the side of the house. So I run down the side of the house, and my son opened the back gate, and he walked down by the shed, and he's standing there by the shed, just standing there, thinking he was watching Dad. And I just grabbed his hand and said, come on, mate, let's go back to bed.
That would have scared the hell out of you, Nev.
Mm. Well, it did. I thought someone was breaking in the joint, but he doesn't remember a thing.
Right.
It's weird how this happens. I can't. Sleepwalking is a phenomenon, isn't it?
Oh, it's dangerous.
Let's go to Rachel at Greenwith. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. What's your story, Rach?
When I was younger, I was notorious for sleepwalking. And one night, my mum was sitting in the lounge room and she heard the fridge door open. And she's like, what's that noise? And there I was. Doing a wee in the
crystal. No!
Oh, Rachel!
Oh, how old were you, Rach?
Oh, about 10.
Have you grown out of it now or not?
I hope so.
I've heard of blokes weeing in the fridge and weeing in the wardrobe, but I haven't heard of a girl doing it, Rach.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
If only
How was the celery after that?
Yeah.
Pardon?
How was the celery?
It was pickled.
And the carrots.
Limp.
The only thing that would be better, Rach, is if your mum had a house full of guests as well. That would have been great. Rachel. All right. Some weird things happen out there.
I think Rach needs to go and see Port Adelaide and Collingwood this weekend, Rach. So
well done.
It should be a good game. I'm sure Port Adelaide will bounce back this week and knock off the mighty Magpies.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
104.7 Triple M.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Pressure point!
Ruined its $1,000 pressure test.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't sort of listened for a week or so, we have doubled it now. It's $1,000.
Unbelievable stuff by Triple M. But Nikki from Little Hampton's pretty happy about it, aren't you, Nikki?
I am.
Oh, yeah.
Good on you, Nick. Now, special day today, Nikki.
Yeah.
Well, tell us about it.
Oh, I'm 30 today.
30!
Yeah.
Get upset that you're turning 30.
How do you feel about leaving your 20s? Is it a big, big issue?
It's not too bad. I'm actually okay with it.
Okay.
Dirty 30. There's nothing wrong with that.
Dirty 30. Yeah. Now, what are you up to today, Nikki?
I'm actually on my way to format some documents as part of my admin job.
Oh, right. Good answer.
Very good answer.
What are you doing for lunch?
I'm actually getting dumplings.
Are you?
Who from?
Yeah.
Who from?
Mandu.
Right, where's that?
It's on Bank Street. They're the best dumplings ever.
In the city?
In town.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't mean which restaurant. I mean, who's getting them for you? You got
is
there a man in your life going to drop them off for you? Be romantic?
No. Well, I have a husband, but he's not dropping them off for me.
Right. Okay. Well, what's he doing today? Where's he?
Can I say he's on his way to make windows?
Ah, there you go. So, yeah, no, she's all over it.
Ah, very good.
Right, let's win $1,000, Nikki, for your birthday.
Do you ever go to the Great Eastern, Nikki? The pub?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it's just down the road from us.
Yeah, I go up there a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
a bit too often.
Hey, you ready to win $1,000?
Hope so.
Do you listen to our show much?
Yes.
Okay, righto. Give us 10 people you'll hear on our breakfast show.
Oh, no. Rue, Dit.
Good.
The Wag.
Yeah.
Pet.
Yes.
Sloane.
Yep.
Yeah.
Folk.
Yeah.
Mick Malloy.
Oh, good. Oh, you got the hubby in there.
Peter Hellyer.
Yes, good.
Tommy Taichi.
Hey!
Malcolm Turnbull.
Yeah, we'll give you that.
Big Mouth. Mark. Lawrence Sweeney.
All right, let's just count them up.
I'm just hearing a little echo in the background there. Who's...
Oh, that's my husband.
Right, let's go to the adjudicator.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Oh, don't tell me. Don't tell me.
No.
10
Hey!
Hey!
Awesome! Hey! Thank you so much.
Well done,
Nikki. How's that for your 30th birthday?
$1,000. That's pretty good.
Now, what's the split in your... If it's anything like mine, it'll be 80-20, I would have thought.
I feel like it's all mine today.
Yeah, it's all yours. Good on you. Well done.
Good on you, Nikki. Well done.
Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
Enjoy the dumplings.
Thank you. Yeah,
well done.
I will.
Rue, that's the first time we've given the grand away.
Yep, and that's good. Hopefully we can just keep on rolling, Dits.
Yeah.
Got a little bit of help from hubby there, which we okay, just because it was her birthday. Otherwise, we would have really cut down there.
Yeah.
It would have been a bit
tougher. Now,
Rue and Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
What more can you say, Rue, except a record-breaking win by the Crows yesterday. 84 points. It's the biggest margin in a showdown.
And they're very, very, very lucky. It wasn't a lot more than that, Dits. They had 40 scoring shots, 18-22, kicked 1-9 in the first quarter. Could have easily been 120, and that's not exaggerating.
All right. Was 84.
This is your segment anyway. You're doing
it. No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No,
come on.
No, it's your segment. What? No, look, top of the ladder and 6 points clear, and deservedly so from what we saw yesterday and what you just pointed out. The stats are amazing. In shocking conditions, to have 40 shots at goal is a very, very dominant performance.
They're wet track specialists. I said this last week, and you laughed at me when I said they beat Freo by 100 points, but they've played 3 games in the wet. Their ball handling in the wet is unbelievable. Their marking in the wet was unbelievable yesterday. They dominated the air yesterday, and lots of people thought they might have been too tall going into that game, but their ball handling and marking was incredible. They just seemed to be able to handle it. In tight, their handball was brilliant. Port fumbled a lot, but inside 50s were 81 to 31. Like, that's a record, 50 different. And Ken Hinckley said as much. He just couldn't believe it. It was unacceptable.
We got bashed up. And I'm not just a little bit disappointed. I'm incredibly disappointed. And I find it inexcusable to play that poorly in a game of football You know, we got smashed in every area. And we can acknowledge that the opposition are a very good side, but unacceptable.
Rue, just we should talk about the Crows, but just quickly on Port Adelaide. It's probably been a few weeks. When you think about it, the game against Melbourne, they had one goal, I think, to half-time as well, or yeah, basically. Against St Kilda last week, fell over the line, as we know. But then again, St Kilda won yesterday, so that form may not be so bad. Just hard to get a read on Port Adelaide, really. But, again, one goal to half-time yesterday was just terrible. And really, yeah, just didn't give a yelp, did they?
No, they didn't. And they haven't been able to beat sides above them on the ladder. We've been speaking about that all year. And they had an opportunity again yesterday to do it, and they failed badly. So perhaps they are a middle-of-the-road side.
I thought they could win yesterday.
I did too.
I mean, you laugh now. I seriously went in thinking we're a big chance today.
I thought it was a genuine 50-50 contest going into the game yesterday.
There you go.
Absolute
now,
genuine 50-50.
Let's talk about the Crows. Sauce Jacobs won the medal, and a big fan of Sauce Jacobs. He's such a nice bloke. He's won it three times now, so he's a big game player. But I thought, you know, Tex for a while, I thought he could have won the medal. He led from the front.
Go back to Jacobs. What about how he pushed Ryder aside early in the contest in that mark inside 50? Was that not a indication of Port's mindset? He's not that much stronger than Ryder.
No, that was in the back. Should have been Paddy Ryder's free kick.
That was unbelievable. That was soft by Paddy Ryder. He'd be filthy at that. But getting back to it, Tex Walker could have won the medal. He was brilliant in the first half. He played great. The Crouch boys played very good once again. Tom Lynch, I thought, was extra good in his 100th game. Sloaney played a great game. I can't believe they didn't try and shut him down properly. They went to Travis Boak. Travis Boak went to him in the first quarter. Now, Kane Corns wrote about that on Tuesday. I don't know how he knew about it or whether he was just guessing, but I found that a very different sort of matchup, putting Travis Boak on him. I don't know why they didn't put Brad Ebert on him, but might ask Ken Inkley if we get a chance this week. Laird could have won it, Jacob. So there was heaps of players, but that was a very bad performance by Port Adelaide. Goodbye, Crows, but very, very bad by Port.
And what about the man who once again lit up Adelaide Oval?
Inside 50, Jenkins in a 1-1. Well done. Here's Eddie Betts tight against the boundary. Bouncing, rolling, have a look at this, Eddie! Wow. He's kicking it from every pocket today.
Well, his other one wasn't allowed, it was touched.
City in, right forward pocket. Eddie Betts doing the talking.
Oh, when you see him live, he was freakish yesterday. And you mentioned this earlier this morning. The one that was touched, that could have been goal of the year.
That could have been goal of the year. Touched. He kicked a checky from Eddie's pocket in front of the old scoreboard from about 30 metres out into the wind. That was amazing. And then the goal we just heard. I think if Hamish hadn't had touched the one that went through, I reckon it would have been Eddie's best game I've ever seen him. I thought those goals, the package of three, were as good as I've ever seen anyone do in one day. But
All right, wrap it up, didn't happen.
Bro.
That'll do.
You sure you don't want to keep going?
No, that'll do for now, right. I think.
Good point, Dits.
Mick Molloy joins Ruin Dits.
Guys want to be me, girls want to do me. I'm Mickey.
Oh, Ru, I feel, if ever I'm feeling down, I need to talk to this man. He gets me up a bit. It's like therapy, you know. Mick Molloy, good morning.
Dits, how are you? Did you kick your wife?
Terrible.
Did you kick your wife in a spot? What happened? While you sleep?
Yeah, when I was asleep, I dreamt one week. It happened 2 weeks in a row. I thought I was playing footy, and I had to kick from outside 50s. I had to really give it some, and I've kicked her real hard. Sorry to laugh. And then, last week, I thought I was on the golf course, and it was after our Darwin trip. I had a crocodile coming towards me, and I instead of a but I didn't back away. I started kicking it.
Strange that you went to kick it.
I went to kick it, and I kicked my wife. So
she's still got more kicks than most of the Port board. I've got to say on the weekend.
They only pull their pants down. What happened, Port?
What do you do? Do you start rebuilding, or I mean, what happens?
We need to play Richmond. Get a bit.
I think we'll find we're two games clear in the four now.
Hey, what about your performance yesterday, Mick? You blew the Hawks out of the water in the first quarter. It was all over.
Do you know what it is? When you go and watch your side beat Hawthorn by 6 goals and you're still a little disappointed in the result.
Oh, no.
You know you're getting right out in front. You know you're a serious contender come September. All the balls are up in the air at the Tigers and we are rolling inexorably to our destiny, which is flag 2017. I am on board.
And sounding like Dusty's going to stay at Richmond as well, well with a long-term offer and plenty of money.
These are the noises. You know what? And when it's the last time I got nervous when I heard, did you hear this story? That his manager, his agent, Ralph Carr, was seen down at Hawthorne. Did you hear the story?
Yeah, I did. 6:30 a.m. going through
there. 6:30 a.m. having a clandestine meeting down at Hawthorne. And you know, I thought to myself, come on, Hawks, we've already given you victory. I mean, when is enough enough? Leave us something. But Dusty, I believe, is ready. He'll take the Brownlow, won't he? In fact, you know what his neck tattoos say, don't you?
What?
Place ribbon here. That's how good it is going to get. Come on. By the way, if he does get it, it will be the shortest speech in Brownlow history, mate. Thought. The guy who...
Oh, thank Caroline Wilson and a few other gents.
He's not the most outgoing bloke I've ever met.
He gives as much information as you would if you were being interviewed by the police.
No comments.
Can I go now?
They're going to hold the Brownlow this year at a local pub, aren't they? There's that many people rubbed out.
There has been a few. So, but anyway, no, Tigers were good. I'm a bit pissed off. I went to watch the game. My privacy has been invaded again by the television crews. But I'm going to sue BT for comments he made in the commentary box while the camera was on me.
What did he say?
I tell you what, I'm not sure whether Mick Molloy is becoming the Joffa of Collingwood. He's almost the symbol man. I think he has turned in to the Joffa of Richmond. I'm sure that's what's happening. Look at him. Incredibly comfortable. Tigers winning by 29.
BT.
I mean, look, I had no top on and I was swinging my shirt around my head every time. BT, isn't that? That's slander.
Yeah.
That is. You just got to count the number of teeth I have that are my own. We can separate us from the pack. So anyway, a big day. I'm hoping from the tribunal tonight that Hawkins gets rubbed out.
Duncan
gets rubbed out.
Selwood's gone.
Selwood's gone.
Yeah. Danger's scared.
A lot too much pressure on him. Mm. He'll be back at Adelaide.
Hey, Mick, you were getting a little bit of screen time yesterday, aren't you? The cameras are starting to keep an eye on you.
Well, you know, I just was there. I was there with my girlfriend and I actually got in a bit of this. Mm. I got a bit of trouble over this because for the last 20 years, I've always gone to that game, to the President's Lunches with my best mate, my best mate, Chowie. Anyway, I didn't tell him I was going this time. The first thing, I didn't even know they were flashing up pictures on the TV, but all I get from him is, well. It was like I'd been sneaking around behind his back.
I'd been busted in a
threesome or something. But anyway, a lot of explaining to do on that front. So,
All right, have a good week, Mick, and we'll talk to you later on in the week.
Oh, I will.
Hey, well, Mick, done. The front bar was awesome on Thursday night with Blighty and Lethal Matthews. That was some of the best television I've seen for a long time.
My personal favourite moment, and it was the break when they were both on together with us telling some brilliant stories. This Thursday's going to be a ripper too. Peter Dacos will be on board. Ooh. And Chris Judd, who's back in the news. And we'll have plenty to talk to him about.
Do you have a few beers with Blighty afterwards?
I had to leave Blight and Lee Matthews in our green room at midnight, still knocking off a couple of beers, telling some of the most brilliant stories I've ever heard. I had to get to breakfast radio. But it was, look, for kids who grow up following football and, you know, we don't have any groupies, but as any young man growing up, the footballers of that era to us were gods.
Yep.
Mm. And those to be in a room with those guys and listen to their stories was... We were like little kids with goosebumps all over. It was an unbelievable experience.
Well, Dacos is in the same category. We were just talking before about is Eddie Betts in Dacos's category. You'll have some fun with Dakes this week. That'll be a ripper.
Yeah, I can't wait, mate. And I'll speak to you before then anyway.
Yep.
Good on you, Mick. See you Thursday.
Sleep in separate beds or at least top and tail dits.
Yeah, I'll give it a go.
Kicking an head then.
Okay, Bucks. I'm calling Bucks.
Ruined. It's on Triple M.
comes in.
Triple M's 40K kick for victory.
Straight in front, Liedral in. This is unbelievable!
Thanks to Victory. For verandas, carports, patios, loomers and fencing, Victory is everything.
Oh, Roo, it was a big day down at the Oval yesterday. Not just the showdown, but we had the big, big build-up over the last few weeks for the 40 grand kick.
Yeah, we sure did. And Forbesy was the lucky listener that got a chance to go and have a kick. We went and had a little dob with him on Thursday in the Parklands just to run through a few skills and make sure he didn't choke under pressure. And Ditz, you saw it unfold right before your eyes.
Unbelievable, yep. Let's have a listen.
Our man today's got the choice. He can go from 40 metres for 40 grand, 30 for 30 grand, or 20, or 5 metres if he wants.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking 20's looking a lot better.
20?
Yeah, 20's a lot better distance, I think. You know, it's a little bit wet, a little bit moist.
$20,000 kick coming up.
$20,000!
Yes! Congratulations, mate. Great kick under pressure.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Triple M. This has just been a splendid experience with all these people here for this great day.
There he is. Let's get him on. Sean Forbesy, good morning.
G'day, guys. How you going? All right?
Good. Yeah. Now, have you still got the 20 grand? What have you done overnight?
Oh, I was at the castle tonight.
The casino?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So
oh, no.
I got home about an hour ago. So it's
you
good.
Got home an hour ago.
Yeah, so, but no, it's all right. We're all right. We're happy. We're good.
How much have you got left?
Tell us the truth.
Well, 20,600.
Oh, you won! Well done.
So, we're up.
So, what did you, tell us, who did you go out with and, how did you celebrate?
Well, I had my mate Tim that came out, on the Oval there with me and a couple of my other close mates, Gazza and Benno.
Yep.
And we went out to the cash there for that night and just sat around on the roulettes and went around the grandstand bar there and, they know how to sort of take your money out of the casino there, so it was really good.
Are you signing autographs?
I did a few, actually.
Don't let it go to your head.
The amount of people that wanted to see my calves was just unbelievable.
But, when I left you on Thursday, I was pretty confident you were going to go from 40, but it was very windy yesterday. I mean, Adelaide kicked 1.9 in the first quarter.
Yes.
You were kicking goals further out than what Tex Walker and a couple of the Crows players did, Forbesy. You might have a future.
Well, I saw that one that Jenko kicked just before the siren that time, and he sprayed it, and I thought, what are you doing? And I yelled out to him, haven't I taught you nothing? But, look, you can only do what you can do, I guess.
What are you going to do with the 20 grand, mate?
Well, I did say I'd buy some Ugg boots and some toothpaste, but that was probably a bit silly. I think we'll put a couple of grand into the little daughter's account, so she'll like that, and she can touch that when she's 16 or 18 or 25. And I think we'll put a bit into the shack out at Blast down there, I think. Oh, so, beautiful.
What, you got a shack on the river?
Yeah, out there at Paisley, yeah, just near Blast down. So,
beautiful.
Nice.
I've got a tree I want to rip out, so I want to do that and put the spa in and it should be all good.
Put the spa in.
All right.
And what about my slang for teaching you how to kick?
Yeah, well, that's right. I've got your cut. If you give me my beanie back, that'll be good.
So. I'll give you your beanie back for more sling.
Hey, well done, Forbesy. I've got to say, Roo, the likes of us never get to go out onto a field like that, an AFL ground. For you blokes that did it, the pressure, when I was standing next to you, Forbesy, it's only 20 metres out, but I thought, my God, you get a feeling for what it's like.
Did you feel the heat a bit, Forbesy?
Yeah.
What was your heart doing?
I could feel the heat and I could feel the wind. That's what I didn't like. So when we had to make the decision, it was blowing a gale and it was bucketing rain.
Yeah.
And then it sort of cleared up a little bit. But 20K is 20K. So I had to be safe and sorry.
You having the day off today?
I am, actually. I'll sleep. I was silly enough to make a meeting by 2 o'clock, but I'll sleep till about maybe 1 and then go to the meeting. So that should be all right.
Well done, mate. You've been a good winner. A lot of fun, too, Forbesy. So well done. Look after your daughter with a couple of grand and have a bit of fun yourself.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, Triple M. Thanks, Victory. Home improvements. It's been a real good occasion, and hopefully it can all happen again some other day.
We look forward to seeing you at the draft time when you put your name up for selection.
Well, I wasn't real happy with the size of my gut that I saw.
You're right.
Especially listening to you on the video as well, Roo. He's got a fair guts on him, hasn't he?
Gotta have fun, Forbesy.
Forbesy.
Roo and Ditz for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
As he kicks a goal, a consolation goal for Charlie Dixon on the siren, and the Crows top of the AFL ladder tonight, as they should be. With performances like this one, they have thrashed their crosstown rivals Port Adelaide here at the Adelaide Oval. The final score 18-22, 130, Port Adelaide 7-4-46.
God, he's annoying, that bloke. Wind it up.
Oh, he didn't really sound bloody like he meant hell. It. Who is it?
Loser.
Let's get right, let's get a champion on.
Yeah, exactly. This bloke dominated all day, I thought. For the third time, he's won the showdown medal. Sam Jacobs, welcome.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, well done, mate.
You would have woken up with a smile on your face this morning, big fella.
Yeah, it was a pretty enjoyable day yesterday, and certainly makes it easier waking up on a Monday morning.
I was saying to Dits earlier, you are a competitive animal. I remember a few years ago when Matty Lobe was there, Ruckman, Port Adelaide, and you'd come into the rush hour, and there was a little bit of a competitive streak there with you two, and now people are talking about Paddy Ryder being the All-Australian Ruckman. I could just picture you going, no, I actually want that position. I'm going to beat him today. And I tell you what, you outbodied him in that first contest in the forward line and kicked the goal and played a ripper game, Sauce. Well done.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, I think it's important to embrace those contests. I mean, that's what you play footy for, is to, I guess, try and tackle the best and try and beat them. So it's always a great challenge. Coming up against a player like Paddy, and he's in some pretty good form coming in the game as well.
Now, Sauce, from our point of view, from Port Adelaide's point of view, I'm shattered at yesterday's result. But I've got to say, in the conditions the way they were, rain in the first half, wind, you blokes have had 40 shots at goal. I mean, that's just a phenomenal performance in those conditions.
Yeah, it is. It's, I guess going into the game, we're really clear on, what we're trying to do. And I guess that starts with the contest. And I thought we were really able to win the ball around the contest and also win the clearances. And when you start doing that and playing the ball in your half, it can be really hard to get it out because you spend so much time, so much effort defending that, you know, you use it all on your defense. So when we kick 1-9 as well, the backs really set up and we're able to lock it in our half.
Sauce, you've played a lot of footy now. You've played a lot of games in the wet as well. Do you think this current side of the Crows is much better than normal in the wet? They look like, you know, good old-fashioned wet trackers. They handle the ball very well in tight. Some of the handball change yesterday under pressure were unbelievable, really. And we've seen it a couple of times this year against Freo. You won by 100 points. And a lot of the marks that were taken yesterday as well in those conditions were very good to see.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, when the conditions are a bit greasy or wet, the boys are really clean. You know, we did a lot of training in the preseason about, you know, really strong ground ball technique, and, you know, Ariel was probably a part of that as well. And when you got, you know, two blokes like the Crouch boys and Sloan who, put their head over it, Hugh Greenwood, I feel a lot of those guys really embrace those conditions, and I think it's important to do that. And especially early in the game, it's going to be hot and it's going to be slippery, so it's important to be clean and put your head over it.
Sauce, most sides sort of try and divert away from talking about finals until you sort of won enough games to get there. You're now 6 points clear on top of the ladder. How has Pikey handled it this year? Have you started talking about finals? Have you started talking about your expectations? Have you embraced the fact that you are going to play in September yet, or are you just still trying to win enough games to get there and get high enough on the ladder?
Yeah, I think you need to be realistic where you are, where your current position is. And at the moment, we were gunning for a top four spot yesterday. It was a huge, it was a high-stakes game for both teams. And, we set our goals at, making sure we qualify for the finals, and then, you reassess and you want to be top four. And now we're in a position where we've locked away top four. And, within the team, we're focused on making sure we get a home final now. We were really disappointed the way we finished last year and the way we performed in Sydney. We've got a group of guys who have played a lot of footy together now. We're in a rush to get to where we want to, and, we're really trying to set ourselves up as best we can.
Gee, forward line function well. One of the things we talked about pre-game was because of the conditions, asking the question, were the Crows going in too tall? But, it wasn't a problem at all. Everyone contributed, didn't
Marks
they?
Inside 50 were 17-3.
Yeah, but they all contributed, Sauce?
Yeah, they did. And, obviously they had a lot of supply. I think, there's a record amount of inside 50s differential. I think, we had 40 or 50 more than them. Which
81 to 31, Sauce.
yeah, there you go. So it's unheard of, and we also know how dangerous they are. I think Josh Jenkins and Tex, even though they're big guys, they're really dangerous at ground level, and you know, I think they're you know, they can contribute just as much as Eddie and you know, Tommy Lynch and all these guys. So it's just great that I felt, you know, every area contributed yesterday, and we had some really strong performance.
Sauce, well done, mate. Three times now you've won the showdown medal, which is amazing. And Roo let us know that he said, oh, yeah, a couple other blokes have won it three times. He kept mentioning it time and time again. So please win it a fourth time.
Sauce, can you do us a favour today?
Yeah, mate.
Can you just ask Mitch McGovern and Jakey Lever if they're happy about yesterday's performance and maybe just say, you know, why don't you stay for a few years?
I think you can imagine the banner that goes on in the change room. You certainly let them know that they're in a good spot at the moment. It's a good place to be.
Good on you, Sauce. Well done.
Thanks, boys. Cheers for the chat.
Yeah, he was good yesterday.
Good fella.
As you said, right from the start, he got on top. He made his presence felt. Port Adelaide, just for a moment, Roo, I want to ask you something. They had 3 days off earlier in the week.
Well, Jackson Trengove have said that. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah. But I just wonder, and by the way, if you're a Crows fan listening, I'm not trying to detract from anything that the Crows did yesterday, but were Port Adelaide sore or flat or something? Why? I just wonder why they made the decision before a big game to have 3 days off. Now, if I don't know if the rush hour, I've got Ken Hinckley on this week, or maybe if we can get him
maybe
later.
Maybe we should get him.
But it'd be a good question, wouldn't it? And I'm sure he's got an answer for it, but I just wonder why they felt that they needed to do it at this time, that was all.
Well, Ditz, I would say, when you see a side play as bad as that, okay, I think it's a physical preparation. You can't have 20 out of your 22 blokes not mentally prepare properly. And Port are a better side than that yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a physical thing as well as the Crows playing well. So I think you'll find Port will bounce back pretty quick.
Look, you know, the way the comp is this year, and I mean this, you know, Port could play fantastic against Collingwood next week and move on. All is forgiven and you build up towards the finals. So, but let's hope they can.
You'll have to because Collingwood are playing a bit better lately.
They are. No, they are for sure.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. Triple M.
Money, money, music. Money, money music.
This is brand new, Roo. We kicked this off this morning. Now, you can win $1,500.
Oh, I like the sound of that, Dits.
All right, quick explanation. All right, we've got Greg waiting on the line at Warradale, but a very quick explanation is if you know your music lyrics, if you think you're good with music, we're going to read out a line from a song. You've got 10 seconds to give us the next line in that song.
Yep.
If you get it right, you get $100.
Right. Then what happens next?
Well, you tell us what happens next.
Well, you get a chance to win $500.
That's right. But you're risking your money.
Yeah, there's no second prize.
So if you go for the next level, if you go for the next level and you get it wrong, you've lost everything.
That's
However,
right.
If you get it right, you've got $500.
Then what happens?
You can then risk that as well and play for $1,500.
So you got to get three right to get $1,500.
But if you get them wrong, you've lost your money. Right. So at the $100 level, you can say, no, I'll take my $100 and go, thanks. Or at the $500, you can say, I'll take my $500 and go. So that's how we play it, all right?
That's right.
Okay, Greg from Warradale, good morning.
Morning, boys.
Right,
how are
you? Do you understand those rules?
Sounds pretty clear.
All right. Roo, do you want to read out? Now, this is for $100. Do you want to read this one out,
Roo? I can do it, Dits, I'll give them my best. You ready, Greg?
Yeah, mate.
Here we go. Waiting, watching the clock, it's 4 o'clock. It's got to stop.
Right, next line. You got 10 seconds.
Oh, take no more. She practices her speech as he opens the door.
We got Eddie Vedder on the line.
We got Eddie.
Bloody hell. Right, hey, let's go to the adjudicator.
Waiting, watching the clock. It's 4 o'clock. It's got to stop. Tell him, take no more.
$100.
Yeah, I reckon we can give it to him.
Well done, Greg. Now, $100. Do you want to take the $100 or do you want to play for $500?
Nah, let's crack on, guys.
Good boy. Good boy, what we like. Greg. We're going to get it.
Right. Now, I got a feeling Greg's going to get this one.
Okay.
Traveling in a fried out combi on a hippie trail, head full of zombie.
Geez, it was on yesterday as well.
Nervous?
Oh, no, Greg.
Nah, sorry.
Oh, well, let's listen to it.
This is one of the most iconic songs. Here we go.
Oh, now you know it.
On a hippie trail head full of
Here we go, here we go.
Yeah.
I met a strange lady.
She
made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. Oh. Righto, Greg, you get nothing.
Bummer.
But thanks for
Dids, don't well, that's no, ruthless.
I'm going home with what I bought with me, guys.
Yeah, that's right. Good on you, Greg.
Well done, Greg.
And good singing,
attitude.
By the way, on Pearl Jam. Very, thanks, very good. And I actually didn't expect Greg to sing. You just say the line if you want. Don't feel the pressure of having to sing. You can just say the line.
He didn't know the line, though.
No, he did. He got the first one right, is what I'm saying. He sang beautifully.
Yeah.
But there'll be some people thinking, oh, I can't ring up. I don't want to sing. You don't have to. You just got to give us the line.
Yeah.
All right. So that's how we play it. We'll do it again tomorrow morning.
Every day?
Mm.
At 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, so far, it's cost us nothing, Roo. There's money in the budget.
It's not my money. I'm very happy to give it away.
All right.
104.7 Triple M.
7:13, Roo and Dits for breakfast. Roo, a story we're reading in the Advertiser this morning is about homelessness. And it's something that, I don't know, I reckon most people sort of sweep under the carpet a bit. You think, oh, I don't want to know about it, not in my backyard. We know there are homeless people out there, and if I can donate $5, $10, I've done my bit. I think we tend to get, you know, caught up in that, don't you think? We don't really want to help, you know.
Yeah.
We want to help, but we don't go too far. We don't do too much about it.
Well, I think probably in the past a lot of people think, well, it's probably their fault.
Yeah, there's a bit of that. You're right.
Whereas now I think people are starting to understand the cost of living, the unemployment. There's legit reasons, you know, probably more than ever, that there's people living out in the streets. And at the moment they're saying that people who are connected closely with people sleeping out in the streets are saying it's the worst it's been in 50 years.
So the economic situation in Australia right now is actually forcing people out on the streets.
The cost of living.
I went one year, I did that CEO sleep out, right, which is a fantastic cause. And they got a young lady up to talk to the CEOs, Roo, and her situation, she had nothing at all to do with why she ended up on the streets. It was all circumstances about her family and everyone around her that had messed up.
Bad luck.
And there was a great example. Yeah, correct. All of these things that had happened to her meant that she was out on the street. And it was a real, you know, wake-up call that sometimes these aren't just down-and-out people that we call them bums, don't we?
Imagine,
unfortunately,
sleeping out on the streets over the last few nights.
Oh, mate.
You couldn't imagine it, could you? It'd be shocking.
So they're telling us that the numbers are increasing all the time. If you look at it decade by decade, we're getting far worse. There are too many people homeless. It's not only in the cities now, but it's out in the suburbs. And you know, one of our angels here, Batesy, who we've introduced in recent weeks, she actually does something about this. Alex Bates is a real impressive young lady that works in our sales team here, Roo, and she actually helps out in a big, big way. And I thought it's timely this morning because of this story that she tells her story. Batesy, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Now, tell us what it is that you do in your spare time.
So I started for the Adelaide region, the street store, which is essentially a homeless pop-up store in which I take donations for clothing, generally warm, in-close shoes, warm jeans, jumpers. And then I do a pop-up store sort of like the Gillie Street Market.
Yeah.
So that they can come in and actually choose what they want to wear. And have the freedom of choice of, you know, what they're going to be wearing for the next few weeks.
Whereabouts do you do this pop-up store?
Yeah, so I partnered with the Hutt Street Centre 2.5 years ago. So I've been doing it with them 2 to 3 times a year since then, depending on the amount of donations we have. And they've been fantastic in helping me.
Batesy, why did you start doing it? And why is it important for them to have a selection?
I started doing it because I went backpacking and seeing the homelessness, particularly in America, was really kind of startling for me, especially seeing it in a country that is seen as one of the richest places in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming home and educating myself more on, you know, the reasons why they're homeless. And there's so many of them have mental illness. And it's all those things now that are becoming more prevalent that I just thought, you know, I was privileged enough to have clothes on my back in a nice home environment and, you know, have all of those access to services that these people haven't been given. So I just felt it was something I needed to do.
Batesy, is it getting worse in Adelaide at the moment? Can you tell that there's more people on the streets at the moment?
And I don't know if it's because of what I do that I see more of it, or I'm more attuned to it, but I definitely think there's more people out there now more than ever. And it's scary the amount of children that I see.
Children?
Even just children, and by children I mean teens, you know, 15, 16, even around the corner from where we are on Franklin Street, it is just a massive the amount of people I stop and chat to, and there's a 15-year-old and 16-year-old that have been homeless for 3 or 4 months and are just walking around. It's really sad.
Bloody hell.
Batesy, what sort of people are you meeting? I know you've just explained about the teenagers, but Alice the Wag told us that she's helped you out on the odd occasion, and she said it's actually, you'd be amazed at the level of person that comes in that are actually super intelligent. Some people have degrees. So, you know, we tend to think that it's the lower end of society. I don't know what the right wording to use here, but perhaps socioeconomic, it's the lower end. But it's not necessarily the case, is it?
No. And, you know, I had a conversation with one at probably last year, and he, you know, made one bad investment and went completely under, and he lost his family and his wife at the same time, and just hasn't been able to get out from that.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of them have, as I mentioned, a mental illness, so that makes them more susceptible to gambling addictions or drug addictions. Mm-hmm. But when you have a conversation with them, they're just so charismatic and funny. And, you know, I did one 2 weeks ago, and we were just in hysterics. So they just are absolutely so brilliant and lovely to chat to. Mm. And it just makes it, I think, for me, more scary to think that someone who you meet at a coffee shop and have a chat with are, you know, homeless and living in those conditions.
Mm. Batesy, what help do you need right now? What would help your situation with your pop-up shop?
Yeah, the biggest thing I need is storage space. So the donations, when I do get them, are amazing, but I have no space at home to keep taking donations in between stores. Mm. So I've been doing a massive call out to any storage facilities just to offer a little storage space that I can access.
Yep.
Just so I can keep the leftover donations in between stores, because
mm-hmm.
The men's clothes is the hardest thing to get, and I'd love to keep them in between the stores if I could.
All right, well, let's put a call out there to someone who's listening right now who has got some space. It can be a storage facility, could be a business that's got too much room on their premises, whatever it is, please give us a call on 133353 if you can help out, because we're reading it is the worst in 50 years. And from what we were saying earlier, Dits, about power prices, this is only going to get worse. Yeah. People aren't going to be able to pay their bills. There's going to be more people on the street. So let's do what we can out there. Well done, Batesy.
Yeah, well done. Good on you, Alex.
Thanks, boys.
All right. Rue, just to elaborate on Batesy, you know, she's a young girl in her 20s.
Yeah.
And how good's that? You know,
oh,
I mean, we know her story because we talk to her here each day, but does this in her spare time and just wants to help out. She's so impressive. She's a ripper.
Yep. And we need people like that in South Australia, don't we?
Don't miss a minute of Ruin Dits with our podcast.
Subscribe to the podcast to listen to whenever you want.
Triple M.